As we look around us, people everywhere are looking forward to the new year and at the same time fearful for what it may hold. This is Pastor Jim for the Congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. We've been through so much in this past year. Do we dare hope for better in 2021? If you're looking for answers, perhaps not even knowing what the questions are, I have good news for you. Every Sunday morning we gather for worship to share our faith, prayers, and the joy of knowing that Jesus is our Savior and that He has the answers. We are a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. Please visit our website, rocksprings.umc.org, for information on our online ministry, plus direction and times for our face-to-face worship services presented with all safety precautions on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs.
The following worship service was recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, January 10th, 2021. We are a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Oh God, you are the bedrock upon which our lives are built. Help us to live fearlessly amidst the storm. Create in us a channel that might carry your living water where it is needed. We join together in worship and praise, as this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord, our God, before you we come. Father, let us humble ourselves in your presence. Let us humble our life, our heart, our ambitions, our agendas. Let us humble our lives, our jobs, our callings, our hobbies, our habits, our likes and our dislikes. Let us humble it all before you. Father, as we humble it before you, we would ask that as you look at our life, that you look at it with grace and mercy as we know you do, but even above that you look at us through the eyes of love,
and let us know Christ in us. And Father, as we know that you see us as we are, and nothing from you is ever hidden, let us confess our sins before you. Let us seek and repent and strength to turn away from those things that get in the way of our witness, our mission, our plans, our purpose, that should be to honor and glorify you. Father, as we bring it all before you, it is all seen by you anyway. We might as well fess up. We might as well bring it, own it, and give it to you. It doesn't matter with that which we struggle. Let us struggle with you. Father, it is so hard to repent, for repentance calls us to not just think it, but to say it, to confess it, and to turn away from it. Oh Lord, how hard that is for us to do. We have to be honest. How difficult it is to even say to a friend, we struggle. But God, that is what you call us to do, to repent. And you are calling not only us as individuals, but as churches and communities and as a nation and indeed the world to humble ourselves before you, repent of our sins. For the words of the prophet ring true even today. If those who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent of their sins, I will hear their prayer and heal their land. Father, as we come today, we also hear the words of Wesley, there is no social holiness unless there's personal holiness. And there is no personal holiness unless there is social holiness. Father, before you we come, broken in many places, broken in many ways, faulted in many ways, suffering in many ways, worried in many ways, unsure of many things. We come to you out of the fallacy of who we are, filled with the potential of what you could do. Somewhere in between we find ourselves. God, grant unto us mercy, forgiveness, and healing. But Father, even more than that, use us for your glory. Let others' hearts and lives be touched by your word as we share it in our witness. Father, as we come, we pray for the many needs within our own lives, within the lives of our church and church family, within our community, and in this nation. Father, we pray for reconciliation and healing. We pray for the values that make us unique as a nation in the world, that we would go and humble ourselves and find those base values of integrity, honesty, compassion and generosity, understanding and tolerance. And let them be gifts from you again to lead us and guide us. Father, we pray for peace in the world around us. We see so much going on. But Father, remind us that in the midst of all that is going on that doesn't seem good, there is much good that is going on too. We thank you for being able to come here this morning and to worship you, to fellowship one with another, though it isn't as it used to be, it is still that we're here together. Maybe we've gathered here in the sanctuary. Maybe we've come and joined via media, the internet. But we are here in spirit, if not in presence. Father, hear our prayers lifted to you for all that burdens us and worries us, for those who serve our country, from law enforcement, which we celebrated this week, to nurses, doctors, firemen, whomever they are, Father, bless them. And for the leaders of our nation, we pray. And now we'd ask that you hear us as we join our hearts and voice to pray as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased. The word of God for the people of God.
This is actually one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Of course, since I'm a preacher, I have lots of them, don't I? I have lots of them. Carrie sometimes helps me pick out hymns, so when we have good ones, she did those, and when they don't fit, I did those. So that's the way that works. And she was looking at this week's, man. She said, What kind of title is this? The Message. Well, how do I pick a hymn to go with that? I read the Scripture. What are you doing? I said, it's a surprise. She said, the hymns will be two. But the Holy Spirit does guide us, and I think you'll find the hymns fit quite well. The Message. We've talked about Christians and what we should do. We've talked about how we should live it out. But sometimes we get lost in the message. What is the message that the world needs today? We find our nation today in a mess. Let's just be honest. It is a mess out there. And I have to go here. This drives me crazy. When the guy ended his prayer the other day with a man and a woman, I could not believe, folks, amen isn't a gender word. It means so mote it be or so be it. It's an affirmation of the statement that you just made. It has, where are we going? What is happening? What is happening? Division in this country. We see all summer long our capital city burned. cities across the United States. We saw autonomous zones. And none of that is good. We saw a breach of our capital this past week. Where's the same condemnation for the violence? There was one, it was kind of different for me. As I watched that, I didn't see anybody's business burned. I didn't see any police cars burned. It was bad, and I'm not condoning it. I'm saying it's bad. People got hurt. A lady got killed. Officers wound up. It was horrible, and it's wrong. It should be condemned. But we should have been condemning things a long time ago. I mean, folks, federal buildings were destroyed. But where was this same outcry of domestic terrorism? What is wrong with a people who can't say wrong is wrong and right is right? Where is the influence of integrity, honesty, compassion? Christian tenets, I might add, on which this country was built, one nation under God. What has happened? I look at the statistics in the United States, and I want to bring it a little closer home. In the state of Wyoming and in Rock Springs, we actually mirror the state on these following statistics, remarkably so. 49.8% of people in Wyoming and a little over 49% in Rock Springs profess to be religious. Religious. Do you know that religion will cause you to die and go to hell? Religion. What is religion? That is what we decide we want to do with God. And of those 49%, roughly 18% are with the LDS Church, and 17% or 14, I got all the numbers right around in here, were of Catholic Church. Methodists represent 1.3% statewide and 1.1% in Rock Springs. We got room for growth. You know, we don't need to go get other people's church members. Don't do that, okay? Don't apostolize to get other church members. Do you know why? Can I tell you a secret? You might not get the good ones. Sometimes it's easier to take a bad person and make them a good Christian than it is to take somebody who thinks they're a good Christian and do anything with them. You know what I'm saying, don't you? So don't swap. You know, that you might not get a good trade. That's just the way it is. You know, but we as Christians, I think, have sort of lost our teeth. We've lost our message. We've lost our focus. We've forgotten how to evangelize. We forgot how to tell people about Jesus. We have forgot how to get in the trenches, so to speak. How many of you like early worship? I prefer early worship. If I'm going to pick one, I like to worship about 8 o'clock on Sunday. That way I'm done for the rest of the day, and I've got it out of the way. You know, that's how a lot of people see church. A lot of people say, well, you worship at 10:30? What an odd time that is. Oh, that's just, can you pick a worse time? That's right in the middle of the morning. I can't sleep in, but you know, I have to get up a little early. Why can't you push it off till 11? And then they want you to push it off to 11:30. And then why don't we just wait until noon? Then we can have our brunches. And everybody wants it convenient, don't we? We good old Americans, we don't like to be inconvenienced much or often, do we? You know, we all have Burger King mentality, so to speak. We want it the way we want it, and we want it now. You know, that's just the way that is. So what is our message? The message. What is the message? We find it right here in 7 verses of Scripture. You can circle, underline, whatever part of it you want to, but it's all right here. The one thing I like about Mark is I call it the run-and-gun gospel. He don't waste any time. You can read this same account. You can get over there in Luke, and this thing takes like 20 verses to get over with. Matter of fact, in John, it takes a whole chapter, you know. But Mark, he gets it done in 7, moves on. Jesus tempted into the little. He just boom, boom, boom. This thing just hopping, you know. It's going on. And now we got John, who appears in the wilderness. Folks, you need to understand, he wasn't an apparition. He didn't just show up. Appearing means somebody noticed him. Somebody saw him. That means he appeared. Somebody saw him. It's kind of like me. I go down and wake Nicholas up every morning. I appear in his door, you know. He don't know I'm there until I say, Nicholas. He goes, what? You know, and then when I flip the light on, he wants to hide, you know, and all that stuff going on. But I appear. I've always been there. I've been in the house, you know. I've appeared. He has noticed me. He saw me. That's what they did. And he was noticed. He appeared and was preaching a message of repentance through baptism for the remission of sins. And they were coming out from all of Judea and Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by John. You can read along if you want to. And being baptized, and they were doing something. John was saying, his message was simple, repent and prepare to receive the Messiah. Repent and prepare to receive the Messiah. And then in humility, John says, he who is coming after me is more important than I am. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. I baptize you with water. But he, when he comes, he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus comes out. Jesus is baptized by John. You know, see, you don't get that conversation with Jesus and John in Mark. You know, you get it over there in Luke, he says, I shouldn't baptize you, you should baptize me. And Jesus said, no, there's an argument goes on about it, you know, but not in Mark, uh-uh. And Jesus is baptized, and immediately when he comes up, heavens open up, and the voice of God he is heard, saying, this is my beloved Son. This is the Son I love, my only Son. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit is seen descending in that scene as a dove coming down from heaven. Dove on the back wall over here. God's got to see him. You got one over here. So we have some doves around here that reminds us of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So now we got John. He's baptizing them people, and they're doing something that's unique. Here's the deal. Even Satan and the horde of demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. There are a lot of religious people in the world. Now, you need to hear me this morning. I'm going to test you a little bit. This is going to be a bit bumpy, but you need to get the answers right or come to the right answer at some point in this. What do we call this area in which we're in right now? Sanctuary. Why do we call it that? Because the walls are strong? Do we call it that because the tornado will never hit here? Lightning will never get us? Is that why we call it a sanctuary? Is this a fallout shelter? I got news for you. The way these blocks are laid, they ain't the strongest. How many of you have realized that? You don't stack block like that and find strength in them. Thank God they've got brick out there. And I'm sure they've got steel in them and all that good stuff. And probably very. But now I got news for you. These are some beams. I mean, that's some wood up there. If that falls over there, Garrett, you've had it, bro. That'll squish you like a bug. I just noticed. Norma, we good now. Jerry, we good. Anita, not so good. If it falls, the rest of it's coming down anyway. So here's the deal. We need to figure out, where are we? Not where are they. Because until we figure out where are we, what can we do about they? So often we want to fix somebody else, but we're not fixed ourselves. One of the words that we give to caregivers is, take care of yourself. Because until you take care of yourself, you can't take care of someone else. And if you take care of someone else, you still have to take care of yourself. We call this a sanctuary not because of its structurally sound, and it's a lot of concrete in here. I'm standing on concrete. Do you know this is all concrete up here? Our ductwork's even in concrete, so if you need to hide from a bomb, get in the ducts. They're big, they're huge. You can actually, Nicholas could crawl through that thing that comes in here. It's huge. It's called sanctuary because this should be a safe space for us emotionally. We should be able to tell each other anything in this room and not have to worry about somebody going out there and using it against us or laughing about it or making fun of us or running us down because of our weakness. We should be able to come into this space and say, oh Lord, forgive me, I'm struggling with my drug addictions. I'm struggling with cussing. I'm struggling with alcoholism. We should be able to come here and confess our sins. How many of you don't have any? That's right, we all have them. You see, John preached a message of repentance to confess our sins. We don't do that anymore in the church. We're scared to. Because those good old Christians, those religious people in there with us are going to judge us. They're going to think less of us. And I would contend that if you think that way, you are not saved. You are not Christian. If you can hear someone say, oh God, help me, I'm a sinner, and you could be a Pharisee and say, I'm glad I ain't like them, you haven't met the Jesus I have. Because I've learned that when somebody comes and says to me, Pastor, I'm struggling, that ain't a time to say, well, if you was a better Christian, you put a little more in the offering plate or something like that, you'd be all right. Do you know what we need? Support. How many of you needed a little help in your life? Somebody to lean on? Somebody to encourage you? Somebody to even challenge you? See, iron sharpens iron, but compassion begets compassion. You see, we as Christians, I'm talking about us right here, right now, we forgot how to be. We hide, we're fake, we're phony. We're scared to death to be real. We're afraid what our neighbor will think. How about what God thinks? You see, the message that John preached is the message we need to preach. But until we receive it, until it's ours, we can't preach it. Until we're willing to confess our sins before God. The Bible says that we're to confess our sins before God and one another. And God will hear our prayers and forgive us our sins. But we don't like to do that. Because they'll think less of us, right? Folks, I got news for you. If somebody thinks less of you, they're not Christian anyway. Because if you can do that, you're judgmental and you need to repent. If you can hear somebody say, I'm struggling, and your heart break for them, and you want to grab them, hold them, hug them, and lift them up, you might be Christian. We could do a Foxworthy thing on here. You might be a Christian if. You might not be if you don't. We could do that. But it's compassion, understanding. Folks, if you can go out here and run your neighbor down, you're not acting like a Christian. If you can go home and talk about your pastor and your church like they're dogs and trash, stay home next week. Do you hear me? What's the message? Number one, you got to realize you're a sinner. Those people got the message. Number two, you got to confess it. I'm a sinner. Oh, Lord, forgive me. And you got to repent. This is the heart. You got to quit doing it. You got to turn away from it. And that's not easy. That's why we get the Holy Spirit. That's why we have these places called sanctuary. That's why we're part of a Christian community. That's the mark of Christians, that we love one another and that we forgive one another. Remember that guy named Jesus? He shared some of that stuff with us. That you love one another, even as I have loved you, love one another. Forgive as you have been forgiven. He actually says, you forgive as you've been forgiven, or you are not forgiven. How many of you said the Lord's Prayer with me a minute ago? We said what? Forgive us our sins as, you got that little word in there, don't you? As we do what? Forgive others. Woo! So how many of us, we just got a little ratchet up, didn't we? If you ain't forgiven others, you ain't forgiven. Do you hear me? If you are not forgiving, then you are not being forgiven. Those are the words of Jesus. And we just said, forgive me as I have forgiven others. That's important, church. The message is, I am a flipping mess, but he's got me. The message is, I'm a sinner. God save me. I don't want to do that, so I struggle with it. God help me lead a different life. Help me get out of complacency. Help me not be lukewarm. Help me not be the same person that I was. Help me not be judgmental and fault-finding and angry all the time. Folks, I have my greatest struggle, I'm going to confess this, is my temper. It is a bad joke. You just need to know there's a side of Jim you don't want to meet. Some people have met him. But by God's grace, he isn't what he was. It's a little at a time. It is a struggle. There are days when I don't want to see anybody because I might, you know, there ain't enough coffee to make me not do something, you know. You don't want to see me before two cups, at least a half pot. Carrie and I have coffee in the mornings. We don't speak. We've learned better. You know, until there's at least a half pot of each gone, it's good morning. Yeah. How do you know? It could change anytime. You know, we all that. Nobody else is like that. It's just me, right? But I struggle with that. I struggle with my vocabulary. I know big words and I know little ones. Nobody else has any of those struggles, do you? Nobody. But I do. I struggle with those things. And I don't want them to change my witness. I struggle with stupidity. Does anybody, people who have no brain cells functioning. Have you met... That really sounds bad, don't it? I mean, when they are simpletons, they can't even get in out of the rain by themselves. It's amazing. I struggle on the road. The light turns green, you pass the right pedal, and you can go. It's amazing to me here. You can have a left turn signal, and then while Rock Springs, you'd only get two cars through it. Because you are first and waits, checks, and waits his neighbor, and he goes, and that other one sits there and waits to be sure he makes it. Then he goes, and the lights changed, and you know, that's just the way it is. In Charlotte, we could put 87 cars through that light. You know, there might have been a little bumper changer, but that's right. I mean, that's just driving in the side. You know, it might have been, I'm telling you, you don't walk between cars at a red light in Charlotte. Because when that puppy turns green, it's an accordion. You know, we're going on. It's just the way. And then you get five on a red. That's just the way it is. You know, it turns red, they steal five more. Zip, 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 zip. Am I about right? Was not hardly five, is it? Three? Two? It's two. Sorry, I missed it a few. Folks, it's okay to have faults and failures, but it's not okay to deny it. It's okay to have faults and failures. It's not okay to not try to change them. It's not okay. God doesn't call us to sin more that grace may abound more. God doesn't call us to stay in the same cesspools that we are in. Sometimes it means a whole change of landscape. Sometimes it means that you can't have the friends we thought we had. You see, a lot of people have religion, but what they don't have is a relationship. You see, it takes a relationship that I may confess my sins. It takes a relationship that I can admit I'm struggling with this. That I, there's just sometimes that you need somebody that you can lean on. Because the moment you think you are a lone wolf soldier, you'll find the walk very lonely and very hard. And that's why we have these groups called Christian communities, Christian families. So what is the message for us? Number one, we are doing the same thing and should be doing the same thing that John the Baptist did. We should be preparing the way for the Lord. We should be preaching a message of repentance, a message of confession, and a message of turn your life around, accept Jesus Christ as the living Son of God, the loving Son of God, the one in whom he was well pleased. Accept him. Turn your life over to him. Confess. Don't do it because I'm do it because that's what he did for you. Don't look at me. I'm a faulty one. But we have to get real. Folks, you can't have religion. You've got to have relationship. The message today that John the Baptist preached is the same one that every one of us needs to preach. How many of you want to die and go to hell? I didn't think so. How many of you want somebody to die and go to hell? Nah, you had a name run right through there, didn't you? I saw some of you, ching, 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 ching. Oh, no, it's there. You know, how many of you have thought they should, you know, or thought maybe they should rot and burn, you know? I've heard that said about people, you know. But that's just, but really, how many of us want to see anybody separated from the love of God? What are we doing about it? Did you invite anybody to church this week? Did you tell anybody about Jesus? Well, Pastor, I don't know if anybody don't go to church. Well, there's 50% of Rock Springs that ain't. But you know what? There's actually 82% of Rock Springs people who are not going to church on a regular basis. 82%. Do you know we have kids in Rock Springs, Wyoming that don't know who Jesus Christ is? Do you know that? We're sitting up here on the hill at 1.1%. What are we doing about it? Well, Pastor, what's the church doing about it? Who do you think you are? You're the church. Pastor, I'm afraid if I say something, I'll get in trouble. Okay. You never been in trouble? I got news for you. Wear this in, they expect trouble. Or they leave. That's what they do. But I get by with it, don't I? They expect me to tell them about Jesus. But when I show up in a pair of Carhartts, they don't see Jesus coming, but he's on his way. I'm going to tell them about him. Pastor, what do I tell them? Tell them God loves them. This spring, we're going to do some evangelistic outreach. Yep. We as a church. I'm going to tap you all. You got to let your yes be yes and your no be no. You got to go to work. Because we're going to start changing these things. We're going to start making a presence in this. Well, Pastor, I'm not for that. So you want people to go to hell? You don't want people to hear about Jesus? You don't want people to have an opportunity to change their lives and turn it around? Well, Pastor, what can I do? Be there. Pray with somebody. Be there to hear from somebody. Be a part. There are many ways that we can be involved and let people know, but we need to get the message out. The question is, what are we doing about it? That really is the message. It's a wonderful message of love and grace. How many of you know that it is a wonderful message? Don't you want to share the good news? Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a minute. Here's where it gets hard. Pastor, I sin. Pray for me. Slip your hand up if that's you. You pray for me. You ain't supposed to be looking around. But Pastor, pray that I can be a witness. I don't know how. Slip your hand up. Take it right back down. Just don't be embarrassed about it. Pastor, help me to be more positive with my interactions. Slip your hand. I want to pray for you because I know that can be a struggle. Pastor, help me to be more compassionate and patient. I want to pray for me right there. Okay. Pastor, I'm uncomfortable with all of that. I'm uncomfortable with witnessing. I'm uncomfortable with telling people about Jesus. I'm uncomfortable with inviting anybody to church. Pray for me so that I make him be a little more bold in that, a little more comfortable with that. Are you saved? That's the big question. Are you in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? That's where it begins. Is he your Lord and Savior? It ain't about religion. It's about relationship with him. The rest comes in order. Are you okay? Pastor, I'm not sure. Would you pray for me this week? Slip your hand up. Take it right back down. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to join me now in a little prayer together. Oh Lord, my God, to you I come in the name of Jesus. Will you forgive me of my sins, of those things with which I struggle daily? Father, will you forgive me for not being the witness I should be, for not loving as I should, for not forgiving as I should, for running out of patience, for often depending on myself rather than you. Father, help me submit my will to you and let your will be done. Amen. May we go to share the good news. May we go to share the good news that is in our heart. For if it isn't in our heart and we aren't passionate about it, we may not say much or do much about it. So may that Spirit grow in us that we could share freely His love and grace. And may you go in grace, peace, and mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.